Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode, we explore, expand, and evolve our understanding of the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity and exponential growth. And now welcome your hosts, Dr. Jeffrey Smith and Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
We want to have a platform and a medium where we can be completely transparent and honest and seek truth as we experience it, challenging topics that a lot of people would steer away from or are uncomfortable with, or just haven't had time to really take belief systems apart and explore them inside out, upside down, so that ultimately we could live at peace with ourselves and break away from some of the societal norms or some of the pressures and expectations that family belief systems or societal belief systems have put on us for a long time that really don't serve us. So ultimately, this podcast is an opportunity for you to hear some fresh minds, some fresh thinking regarding looking at truth, what it is, how do we find it, how do we experience it. And ultimately, it's our truth. It's truly our truth that we live by. And so this is an opportunity, if you're going to follow our adventure along with us, for you to have some self-discovery that would allow you to live your life differently in a way that would be more satisfying, gratifying, fulfilling, whole. So that's the premise behind the podcast. And who Jim and I are, we are truthologists. And that's kind of a fun thing to say as we explore what we believe truth is.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I hope everybody caught that. We want to thank everybody out there who's here and participating and being a part of the experience. We appreciate that. At Adventures in Truth Podcasts, we do what we call deep dives. So today, in light of all that's going on in our world, we thought that we would start in our wheelhouse, and that is to really talk about what's happening with each of us individually and collectively with regard to fear and how fear impacts our experience and keeps us from being able to create those things that we want to have in our experience. Because when you're in a state of fear, you're not in a state of love. And when you're in a state of fear, you're in a restricted state. You're in a state of limitation, self-imposed limitation, actually. So, that's why ultimately we say fear is a choice. And we ask it as a question to say, really, fear is a choice? It's really kind of a dead end question, because it is a choice and it always has been a choice. And we're going to dive into that today.
So here we go.
Here we go.
A couple of places to start from. When we do a deep dive, oftentimes we like to use some definitions of words so that we can all be on the same sheet of music, or using a common definition to describe what it is we're talking about and where we're going. So some of the key words that we would be exploring today, in addition to love and fear, would be energy. Jim and I believe that we are energetic systems, far more than we really truly understand or know. And this would, you know, come from concepts from, say, the Ayurvedic medicine, just the ways of understanding Kundalini energy, our chakra systems, even heart math with regard to their work in understanding how our electromagnetic energy is created. But that's an important piece to understanding what truth is because there are some core premises that a lot of people aren't really clear about. An example would be, we use the terms light and dark, and we use the terms heat and cold. And what's fascinating about those four words, there's only two of them that are actually real, in that there is light. You can see it, you can measure it. There is heat. It is something that you can measure as well. There's evidence that it exists. The term dark, however, though, is simply the absence of light. The only way to create dark is to remove light. So dark is a term that we use that's describing our experience, but by itself, it doesn't really exist. And the same thing with cold. Cold is an experience that we're having with an item or a temperature that is has heat removed from it. So, if you think of those as energetic systems, that's a great place for a foundation to start from when we're talking about love and fear. So there is only love. And in the absence of love, you get to a place where you're going to have an experience that we would call fear. And it could start out with a small amount of fear that we would call a disturbance or, being upset, being irritable, frustrated. Those would be low level amounts of the energy that we're calling fear. And then of course that can extend all the way into the upper levels that you would have stark terror, levels of fear, rage, paranoia. Some of the very large amounts of fear would be drifting even further away from the energy of love. So that's a nice foundational place to start from in just laying out where we're going in this adventure. Do you want to add any of that, Jim?
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the consciousness aspect, which is also about energy. But this is, again, it's important to remember that that consistency in our field, the consistency in how we express ourselves. So from our perspective, there are two, basically the thrust of two consciousnesses. And within that, there's lots of layers. But basically, it's, are you operating from a fear-based experience or an opportunity-based experience? And what we mean by that is that if you, and you can look at this from the perspective of what's happening in our life today, right now, this very minute, this very second. This whole pandemic is driven on fear. There is nowhere that you can go that you can get information or anything else that isn't somehow laced with a perspective and laced with fear. That experience has been our experience our entire existence and has only gotten more intense and more powerful. I think part of the process that we're in right now with this pandemic is sort of trying to unravel some of this so that we have a chance to really see clearly how we're operating in fear. And recognizing that at every juncture, that fear is a choice. So because it's a choice and it's not a comfortable choice, meaning comfortable in the sense that being in fear is not a comfortable place to be. Even if you tend to like it, it just doesn't feel great. But the other side of that is a shift in consciousness. It's a raising of the elevation of your energy. It's a raising of the vibration from a state of fear to a state of love. But within the context of that, we tend to call it opportunity because the focus of the attention in the brain is sort of to the front of the brain and not stuck in the fight or flight mechanism. It's an ability to go into kind of an objectification of your experience, meaning you're not emotionally involved in all of the aspects of your experience. Therefore, you can observe events as they are and then respond to them instead of seeing all events from a fear filter, which prevents you from taking effective action because you can't, as Einstein once said, you can't solve a problem from the same energy you created it from. So want to really lay in this foundation of understanding the difference in the state between being in fear and being in opportunity or being in love.
I like the idea of opportunity, and it is a big challenge. Our listeners hopefully are feeling challenged right now in being able to embrace this idea of choice with regard to fear, because it's an energy, much like light and dark and heat and cold. We may think that if you go outside and it's really hot, you don't have a choice of how to deal with that, but you actually do, based on the clothes you wear, whether you go swimming, you go to the beach. So there are ways of dealing with heat versus cold. And the same thing with light and dark. We've even created lights to deal with the dark now. So knowing just because it's dark outside, if you have an activity to do, you can still go about your activity. You just have to bring some light with you. So even operating in a dark environment energetically that we would call fear, there is no reason. Like, you know, we wear masks now, so we're getting ready to start our going back to work and getting back into production again. And we'll be doing that in the presence of the virus to whatever degree it exists and we're exposed to it. But the choice, just like it's a choice to go back into your workspaces and it's a choice to go accumulate things that you have to get at the grocery store or whatnot, we simply go about that in a way that we're making choices as to how we're going to put ourselves in that energetic space. And so it is it's a big challenge to consider if I'm in an energy of fear and I feel it, and we'll slow this down here in just a moment so that you can have some more clues as to what energetic space you're in. But I really just think it's important that people are willing to grasp this notion that it is a choice, it being what state am I in? What energetic state am I in? And being able to look at that from a bodily standpoint of letting your body give you clues as to what's happening. For example, a heart rate accelerating, pupils dilating, nostrils flaring, blood pressure going up, clenching hands, all those indicators that, you know, your stomach flip-flopping, tension in the shoulders and neck, you know, those would all be clues that you have entered an energetic state of fear and you have a choice as to how long you're going to stay in that and what tools are at your disposal to free yourself from needing to stay in that space. And that at any moment, it's a choice to begin to take some deep breaths, to contemplate, I do not have to feel this way right now. There is another option for how I'm going to respond rather than react to the events that are shaping in front of me right now, of which we cannot control. We cannot control the events that take place in our life. If that were true, we would have already worked through the corona experience, and that would be in our past. So we can't control how long that's going to be around. It's part of nature. It's going to do what it's going to do. But we can be responsible and accountable for how we show up in this environment, as whether or not we're going to be in fear and we're going to be in love. So love is about flow. There's another word, a key word I'd like to introduce. We're either in a state of flow, which would be on the love side, go with the flow. That's a term that we're all familiar with. And it's something that you've heard it so often that perhaps it's so commonplace in your mind now that you're not really understanding truly what that means. So if you look at it like a river, if you look at it like a core, that would be a way to energetically see that you're not obstructing energy that's flowing through you, of which we always have energy flowing through us, consistently have energy flowing through us. That energy can be in a state of free flow, going from us to others. And that's always a magical experience when you're allowing energy to flow through you as a conduit to others, and it's an energy of love. But we can also do that with our energy with fear as well. The flip side to flow would be resistance.
Exactly.
And this is where we've been stuck on the planet for the last several months, is in resistance of what is the virus? How do we live on this planet with it? There is no way to kill it that we are aware of. And right now we're struggling with testing for it. We're struggling with vaccinating for it and not even really knowing if that's something we should do. So right now we're in between flow and resistance, and hopefully moving every day more toward flow so that we can come out of our homes and back into our workspaces and our play spaces and enjoy more of the planet that we live on from other places than just our homes. So Jim, I mentioned flow and resistance, and I know that you have some thoughts about those two terms with regard to our discussion about fear and love.
Yeah, we've talked a lot, and even recently in our podcast, as we're talking about energy, as we're talking about this idea of energy, I want to use kind of an example for, if you consider that we came into this experience, this human experience, as a spark of the Creator, as a spark of creation, as a, whether you call it the universe, whether you call it God, whether you call it, whatever you call it, this greater energy that exists that we come from. The energetic experience is that we come in as one of love and of being in that aligned and connected place. And fear is introduced, although fear is introduced from inception, because being within the context of the mother's womb, you are imprinted with whatever her experience or emotional experience is about. So if you think of it in those terms, you're being imprinted, and some of that becomes subconscious, some of it becomes unconscious, but it's still choice, in that we always have choice regarding what we choose to feel or experience. And what I mean by that is, if you consider that the core of our field, or our core of who we are, is this vibrational or energetic beam, right? It's this cohesive, coherent beam of energy. And over time, as we experience things and feel things, streams or pieces or parts or threads of that energy can get separated from the main thrust of energy, from that coherence. And what happens when that happens is that's where we begin to experience negative emotion. So you have a situation that occurs, which is just an event, whatever it is. Say you're stepping out off the curb and you didn't see a car, and the car is coming toward you or quickly to you. The immediate situation, you can observe the car and step back without much of, you know, you'll probably have a rush of adrenaline, because a 2,000 pounds piece of metal hurling at you would stimulate adrenaline and would also stimulate some of the fight or flight piece. But in that moment, you can choose to step back and just step back and be done, turn around and go on about your day. The other option is to engage the fear. And when you do that, the thread, that piece of your energy now is separating from the coherence that you have in your alignment. And as you separate that piece further away, as Jeff talked about at the beginning, you experience more darkness, you experience less heat, less connectivity, because you are separating yourself by virtue of the choice of your emotional experience. So what we're trying to get to here is to recognize that those choices are not punishments or bad or right or wrong. They're simply choices, and each choice has a ramification. So if you choose fear, then you're choosing to separate parts of yourself. So, and imagine over even the course of a day, how many times you separate yourself from yourself just in the course of a day. And so it's not a wonder why by the end of the day you may feel completely beat up, because the emotional experience of living from a fear-based experience pulls you in so many different directions away from your coherence, away from your alignment. So bringing this to light, making it conscious, that's the whole idea of becoming conscious and having your consciousness expand, or having your energy or your vibration increase. It's being able to bring to the surface those things that are subconscious, see them in consciousness, and then be able to respond to them differently. That's the process of kind of evolving our emotional system, evolving our energetic system. As we become vibrationally more coherent, we become less emotional, in the sense that we're not reactive emotionally. We experience emotions very deeply. The experience of joy and love and compassion and all of those amazing experiences are huge, but conversely, so are the negative emotions. They're amplified because of that incredible light of coherence. And that's where you get the opportunity then to stop and say, whoa, time out. You know, especially particularly for the negative, obviously for the, you know, when you're experiencing joy and it's waving through your entire body and you're feeling it at a cellular level, you like to stay there. But when you go there in fear, you get a similar experience, because especially if you built that muscle, if you really hold your coherence, it makes it feel like it's so far out of proportion to anything else that's going on. And that's because there is an attachment. So losing that attachment, getting your energy back into coherence, that is the core of what this is about, between being in a fear state and an opportunity state. That makes sense.
Yes, sir. The discussion we were having just a moment ago about resistance and flow, I find so fascinating, Jim, that when I laid it out the first time through, flow goes with love and resistance goes with fear. Mm-hmm. But it can actually be, you can flip-flop those as well. You can flow in fear. And here's how we flow. We can flow in fear. Go turn on CNN, folks. Go turn it on. Not right now. Watch the rest of the show first. But you've all watched CNN or MSNBC recently, or even Fox. It doesn't matter. Any of the major news wet networks. I almost called them wet works. That's interesting. I don't know where that came from. But maybe it's the tears that come from the wet works. I don't know. But we can and oftentimes do get caught up in the flow of fear. And we just go with that. It can be a prominent, prevalent energy form that your neighbors are feeling it. People at the grocery store are feeling it. And you know, you go to a concert that has a mosh pit and you go down and you get in that. That's a lot, that anger and that pent up energy of I want to punch and push and shove. And you know, that you can get into that. And some people like that. And that's their preferred state that they're comfortable in. Prison systems are often filled with that. Terrorist organizations are filled with that energy, and they flow in that energy of fear. And what's even more fascinating to me, Jim, is that people tend to say they want to be in loving, healthy, fulfilling, connected relationships. But I've seen people resist love. And you're like, hey, we could hug right now. We could actually stop this fighting right now, and we could flow into love because we've been flowing with fear. And people cross their arms and they're still put off and they're caught up in something that was said that was unkind or, you know, inflammatory in some way. And we resist getting out of fear back into love again. It's fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating. But you can see in that moment, every moment, it's a choice. Which one of these energies am I going to be in?
We had one of our viewers, and thank you guys out there for being a part of the show today. We're so grateful to have you here, and I want to reference one of the comments that we received as you were talking earlier about you can only control what we can control. And I'm going to push into that a little bit because, again, it says we can only control what we can control. And I'm going to posit, based on what we're already talking about, that control is a bit of the is what rests in the fear-based experience. And here's why. When you are in an opportunity-based experience, there is no need to control anything. You manage things because you're managing your energy, and as a result of that, things show up in your experience, and you manage those however you manage them. They don't require you to control them because you're not trying to manage how it happens. You're being a part of the experience of it evolving. And so out of that, what happens is, well, let me take a step back here a second. So in the process of creation, we've talked about this idea of be, do, have. And what that means is that as we start in beingness, and in beingness is that coherent place. Beingness is that aligned place that we were talking about before. So in that coherence, as you move through your life, you are inspired through beingness. You're inspired by the things you desire and the things that you see based on your five senses. And that inspiration leads you to the next thing. Jeff was talking about flow. That's the whole idea of flow, is that you cultivate your beingness in love. You cultivate your beingness in coherence. If you're uncomfortable with the idea of love in this context, then use coherence as your word, or use alignment as your word. Again, there is no dogma here. It's learning how to use language, because language is energy, understanding the words that you choose, because every word contains energy that has an impact. So the idea of control is about needing to constrict or restrict in some form in order for you to believe you can manage something, which, if you dissect all that, comes to a whole different place, which has to do with worthiness, which is all about fear, which is all about where we started in our evolution as a human being for the most part. So it's kind of an interesting thing that as we get older and as we get more mature and we learn to operate in the world, we get tied up in this idea of needing to control circumstance or control events. And really what we want to learn how to do is manage our energy, because then we just respond to what we encounter. We don't have to control it, because controlling it is restricting the flow of that. So consider that, would you want to be controlled energetically? Would you want to be handled energetically? Well, if it's uncomfortable to think that thought, then think that thought for everything else you try to use or use it on. How does that feel? Well, if you think about that in terms of your work, in terms of your life, every time you go into control, you're never in a space of love, ever.
I'm sorry, Tim, I didn't hear you. Could you say that again?
It's one of our favorite things. How does the expression go? Just never. Yeah, just never. So understand that we want and greatly appreciate the comment, because it's something, it's a fantastic reference. And again, it's not a judgment about control. It's about understanding what changes when you shift out of fear into opportunity. And we're going to get into shortly here, we're going to talk about some ways that you can do that, that you're able to do that yourself, because that's what this process is about. You, your evolution, your expansion, and your consciousness. And all of us are here interacting in a co-creative way to support each other in that process. The amazing thing that we're getting to observe now is how far from that we've come as a species, even, you know, just as human beings, that it's stimulating and re-stimulating that connection, because people are paying more attention again and less attention to the mass consciousness. And one other quick piece I want to throw in here about this idea of mass consciousness that Jeff was touching on. If you don't understand the concept, I'm going to lay it out here pretty simple. So mass consciousness is a collection of beliefs. And I'm going to create a definition for beliefs. No, I'm not going to create one. I'm actually taking it. But a definition of a belief ultimately is simply a thought you keep thinking. You just do it repetitively, and you do it until you believe it. And the way the brain works, the way the chemistry works, myelination, it's called, is when you train habits into your brain, you train new grooves by continuing to think thoughts repetitively. It was for many years, I think in the 80s was a big deal with, you know, affirmations and using statements to help create new ways of being. And we'll be right back right after this message.
Question: would you like more Adventures in Truth podcast? We've got you covered. In addition to all of the major platforms we're on, Spotify, Apple, Deezer, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, we are now going to be live streaming 2 times a week. Our live casts will take place Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time or Friday afternoons at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. These will be brand new shows, and we're looking forward to your interaction. And you can do that by joining us on our Facebook page at Adventures in Truth and type in your questions, and we will answer them right there on the air with you. So we're looking forward to seeing you there, and we appreciate you so much, and thank you for enjoying and engaging with Adventures in Truth podcast.
And we're back. So mass consciousness is a multitude, millions and millions and millions of belief systems that are stacked on top of each other that are similar or close to similar, and so there is a mass agreement about this thing, whatever it is. It doesn't make it any more real. It doesn't make it legitimate, nor does it make it right or healthy. It's just the continued thought process that lots of people have had about the same thing. So part of increasing or changing your core vibration is being able to resonate above the vibration of the mass consciousness, which is all closely hugging the planet because it's dark and it's negative energy mostly. It's not good energy that you want to really be participating in. But it's the structure that we have developed as a society or a culture. And again, we're watching how that happens in real time. And I'm not going to try to be political, but I want to use the example because it's so relevant to this conversation. What Trump does every single day is attempt to change what is reality. And he does it by repeating the same things over and over and over again until people begin to believe him about what he's saying. And the conflict we are experiencing is because there are those who are observing it going, that's not right. That's not okay. That's a lie. It's not true. But there are enough other people who are buying that it now becomes part of the mass consciousness. And what we are experiencing is a huge rift in that mass consciousness, because we're not willing, there is a large core that are not willing to be in fear. There's another core that is still in fear, but doesn't believe what they're seeing. And then there's other people that are completely bought into that experience. So find out where you are in the spectrum and then begin to change it, begin to shift it. And then again, we're going to get into that in just a sec.
I have a thought on our brave listener who wanted us to talk a little bit about control, or wanted to participate in the show by making the comment that we can only control what we can control. Some of the ancient philosophers, let's throw Plato, Socrates out there as some examples, concluded that we really have no control over anything. For example, there could be a meteorite headed toward the planet right now. There's just nothing that we can do to stop it, and it's going to, you know, smash the planet and we're all dust. As an example, there could be a jet flying over my office right now and something fall off of it. The mechanic didn't put a panel on right or something, and it comes hurling through my office and takes me out. As another example, or driving here this morning, got here to the studio a little bit late due to some ground fog. It's like, oh, nobody told me there was going to be ground fog on the freeway this morning, but there it was, and it delayed my arrival. Nevertheless, the one thing perhaps that we can control, or one thing that would be worthy of spending energy, we're back to energy again. We only have so much energy, and it takes energy to create energy. For example, doing a meditation or breathing exercise or playing with some of the Kundalini energies or Reiki, you have to set aside time and devote consciousness to getting into a space to bring more energy to you. And it's certainly worth the cost-benefit analysis of those practices is very much on the positive side. But the piece about control is the only thing that we truly can control and is worthy of the energy to do the process that you're calling control is the assignment of meaning to what happens. So we cannot control what happens, but we can control how we respond to it and the meaning that we give to what happens. And without ever wanting to offend anybody, because sometimes I do, but it isn't my intention. I just want to put that out there, because I think outside the box, sometimes my thoughts are offensive because people haven't heard it before. They haven't considered it before. They haven't heard somebody express an opinion about some of the things that I think and share. And that's part of what makes this partnership I have with Jim interesting and compelling, as why we have followers, is because we think things that other people don't, and then we talk about it. But this notion of the assignment of meaning to what happens, I either tell myself it's good or bad in the most simplistic ways. We get down to this judgment. We're making a judgment about an event that happens as bad. And it's like, wait a second, why would the universe set us up for something bad? If nothing is bad and actually nothing is good, there's just easy days, we call those good, or there's really super enjoyable days, we call those good. And then the days that are challenging and hard, for some reason we call them bad, but really it goes back to, it's an opportunity. Every opportunity that shows up is a challenge to learn something from it about yourself and your relationship with energy and love, every single opportunity. So anytime that you find yourself upset or discontent or angry, in that moment, you could hit the pause button in your thoughts and say, wait a second, I have a choice to make a shift right now. I can flow with the energy of fear because I'm trying to control something that really I have no control over. And that's fear. The reality that I really have no control over anything except the meaning that I assign to what's happening. Sometimes that's very scary. And that's why the insurance companies are so profitable, because insurance is something that we do to try and to ensure that we won't have a catastrophic event take place in our life that's going to leave us destitute. So we insure everything because we're afraid of losing everything.
Yeah.
It's back to fear again. We have insurance to help us alleviate fear, right? And we're busy trying to control a lot of things that we really are wasting time and energy trying to control things that don't need to be controlled.
That is true. Jeff, I want to share a comment here on our screen. This is from Stephanie. She says, I think sometimes fear can push you to a good place.
Oh, yeah. I love it. That's making it an opportunity, right?
Right. Good. So fear can push you to a good place. What would that look like? How do you experience that? So initially, I think, as you understand the separation or the difference between a fear consciousness and an opportunity consciousness, there are things that show up, you know, there are different schools of thought about the stuff that occurs in our life. And I know in law of attraction, they call it contrast. And contrast is just stuff that shows up. It's just we're having every day we want to do, we have desire, we have things we want, things we want to accomplish, things we want to engage with. And through the course of your life and through the course of your day, you're going to encounter different people, different circumstances that are not necessarily good or bad. Like say, maybe you have to deal with the IRS. I'll use me. I'm doing a lot of cleaning up of stuff, nothing major, but just the dealing with the IRS in and of itself sets the stage of sort of a negative experience because it doesn't have a very favorable report card, as it were. So initially, when you're dealing with things like that, organizations, whatever, you may have some anxiety or some fear about not being able to get done what you want to get done, not being able to talk to somebody, not being able to fix it, all of the thought process, they're not going to let me, they're going to be this, they're going to do that, they're going to respond this way or that way. All of that is story, of course, and understanding that that's all story. The important thing to recognize is that what happens when you move into opportunity is you stop making story. And if you make any story, it's going to be a positive focus story, because the positive focus is, regardless of what this thing is, I'm moving toward what I want. I'm moving toward what it is I need to, what it is I want to create in my world. And the thing that is in front of me is a thing that I apparently need to address to get to the destination that I'm looking for. So it's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just a thing. The question, as Jeff is talking about, is how do you respond to it? Now, so the IRS drops into your reality. Well, there's a whole lot of history in the fear mongering of that organization, or you know, the anxiety building of that organization. So instantly there is a part of you that responds to that. Now, the way that fear can be supportive is that you stop in the moment of that experience and recognize it's happening, and then shift to something else. Choose a different thought, choose a different approach. Don't allow yourself to engage the story of that thing, or that, whether it's your story or somebody else's, it's all story that you're making up, because one, you haven't engaged yet. You haven't even done the engagement, and you already have a huge story about the engagement. How does that make sense? You haven't had it yet. So again, as to Stephanie's point, the release of the fear is about saying, oh, I have other options here. I don't have to go that direction. I can go a different direction. And that's the responsible energy spinning up choice that allows you to step into those circumstances in a way that you are not drawing from them the response that they always have given, because you're not holding the energy of that in your field. That's what creates the response. I hope everybody understood that.
Yeah, yeah. Right? One of the things I'm interested that we've kind of overlooked is we really never defined fear. One of the definitions that different recovery programs use is they see the word fear as an acronym that stands for false evidence appearing real. If you break that down, that means that your mind is putting together pieces of information, some of which are true and some of which are not. So there is, let's say we're at the zoo and you're getting close to the tiger exhibit, and all of a sudden there's all these people running away from the tiger exhibit, yelling and screaming, because guess what? The tiger's out. Oh no. So your mind is going, oh, this is, you know, generally tigers that are loose at the zoo, that's not an event that you want to participate in. So, you know, you run, you help other people get strollers out of the way and help the old people, you know, and all that sort of thing. But there would be people that would fall down and pass out from their fears. There would be some people that would only be thinking of themselves and be running over everybody else. And there would be others who would be more calm and collected and would try to help manage the situation as best could be done. So let's say you escaped that scenario, and on the way out of the zoo, they threw rain checks to you saying, hey, come, we'll catch the tiger, we'll put it away and come back and see us tomorrow. And you're like, okay, so I'll do that. So you get there the next day, and as you're getting close to the tiger exhibit, your mind sees the tiger and you're at the zoo. So those are two pieces of information that the mind can then say, hey, I'm in danger because there's a tiger here and I'm at the zoo and it's there. But the difference is the tiger's in today. It's not out. The gate's locked. They figured out how it got out and they solved that problem. But it would be really difficult for that part of your mind that believes it's still at risk for being injured to override that by saying, nope, there is evidence of a tiger. There is evidence that I'm here at the zoo. But the false part of it is the tiger's in today, and it really looks like it's going to stay in. They've identified how it got out. So I now have a solution to assuage my fears. I don't need to be operating in that energy, because the truth is the tiger's secure. The false part is it was out yesterday, which my brain tells me it could happen again today, even though it's not happening. You can totally have an experience if you let your mind convince you that you're at risk, you will have that experience. And so that's the false evidence appearing real piece, that when you're feeling, because the feeling of fear is fright. When you're feeling the feeling of fright, that's your opportunity to say, what part of this isn't true? The difference between fear and danger is one is real and one isn't. The feeling of danger is the tiger is out and I can see it and it's coming this way and I need to get out of here right now. That's the energy of danger. The energy of fear would be being at the zoo the next day when the tiger's in, but you're still feeling frightened. And that's the part that's not true. There really isn't anything except your experience of yesterday that isn't here today. It isn't happening now. So, but that's how fear works. It's actually not true. Fear goes with, there's some distortion of truth at play. There's some lie that's occurring in your mind that is getting you to feel frightened for no good real reason other than it happened once before. But lots of things have happened before. People have been in auto accidents before, but they still get in their cars and drive. So we overcome our fears all the time, which is part of maybe where Stephanie was coming from in her comment, that if we are brave and bold enough to stand up and to face our fears, to be aware of the things that we believe are threatening to us and go about a systematic, safe, appropriate way of standing up in them and seeking the truth about the situation, not letting the false part lead us and have that internal feeling of being afraid.
Such a powerful description, and something that's important, and I'm going to push a different direction here a little bit into what you were saying. And that's the false evidence and the story mechanism. And recognizing that what we're going to get into in this section here in the next few minutes, talk about how do we shift our state from fear to love. And part of the challenge is the story. And what I want to convey to you guys out there is to understand that the attempt of the mind to create story will never go away. It will go on for the rest of your life forever. It doesn't stop. It's the mechanism. The job of the ego, of the mind, is to keep the body on the planet. The sole mechanism of, in my purview, of the ego, is it is the consciousness that runs the body. That's all it does. And its purpose is to keep the body on the planet. You have a fight or flight mechanism that is designed to alert you if there is imminent danger. It doesn't alert you to the story of imminent danger. It alerts you to imminent danger, meaning there is something in the field that is literally going to be coming after me. The challenge that we have had through our existence, especially in this culture, is that gets stimulated 100 times a day, every day. So it's now not a fine-tuned machine like it used to be. It's a control mechanism that's attempting to control your experience by virtue of the information it's taking from the outside and trying to incorporate inside, when the story from outside doesn't match anything that's going on in the inside. So the illusion of the story and the reality clash, and you get this separation that occurs because the fear pulls you out of coherence. The story pulls you out of coherence. The feeling is the fear. The feeling is that experience of being out of coherence and thinking you will never get back there again. All story, none of it real. So when you change your vibration, when you do the steps that you can do to increase your vibration, your mind will still attempt to give you story, and you don't attend to it. You don't put your attention there. Your attention is somewhere else. Your attention is into where you want to go, your destination, what you are creating, the end result. You're not stuck in the story of how to get to the end result. It doesn't matter. And therefore, you can change your focus. So if you think of it like you're looking at two hands here, I have a hand that has fear and I have a hand that has love. Sorry, I can't find these cameras. So you pick which one you're going to go with. And if this is fear and you go, yeah, no, I don't want this. I want this. So you put all of your attention on this one. And that's where you put your energy and time and attention. And none of that has story. It's just, here's my desire. This is what's coming as a result of what I want. I need to address this. I need to step to this. I'm stepping to it, or I'm stepping around it, or I'm, whatever it is that needs to take place there. And I'm moving forward because the thing in front of me is the thing I need to address to get where I need to go. And understand that that thing that's in front of you is in part of the inspired process. It's there because the energy that you have about that is in the way of what you want at the other end. Does that make sense? It's in the way, meaning it showed up because it is an energy that is preventing you from achieving the vibration you're seeking. That's why it's important to address it, not control it, not beat it, not fight it. This is another piece that I want to address here real quick, is the idea of fighting fear, the idea of conquering fear. It's not a thing. It's a story. How do you conquer a story?
It's you just have to tell yourself a new one.
In your head. It's not real. So get away from that's more resistance. That's putting resistance against resistance. So now I got to fight against an illusion. And I know I hear people going, yeah, but I can't deal with spiders, and I can't deal with heights, and I can't deal with XYZ, and I'm so this and that. Yes. And you keep telling yourself that story and you keep repeating that story. You don't have to fall in love with spiders. You just don't have to deal with them. Choose something else, you know, until you can find another way to be in the environment of that, or sit in the environment of that and look at how ridiculous the story is. Yeah, you're going to have feelings. You're going to have stuff going off all over the place. But part of what we want to help you guys to get to is being able to be in a space of sitting with it and observing it as an object in the field of your awareness and going, that's really interesting. That's an intense response. What's stimulating that intense of response in me? And then look for that. Don't look at the story that's being presented to you, because the story is not real ever. Again, here we go. Don't want to push the button here, but we're running on a time here. So we're coming to about 5 minutes out, I think. So I really want to focus here for a second on this idea of how do I shift my state from fear to love. The core basic simple principle here, guys, is get quiet. We were talking in a podcast the other day about breathing and presence. I think it had to do with the experience of birth, that we are born in presence. We just show up and then we breathe. And that basic core principle is what can apply to all of this. As far as how you shift, is get quiet. Some call it meditation. Meditation is a powerful tool, but it's intimidating because we think there's a whole story that goes along with meditation. There's not. Meditation, sit down, shut up, get quiet. It's simple. Get quiet's the problem, because once we close our eyes and go into that space, the mind is going to fill it with as much things as it can give it. The cool thing is you don't have to participate. And so when you go to get quiet, you begin to understand and you begin to experience what I call the observer. You begin to experience this other awareness that hangs out, and it's going to hang out somewhere in your field, somewhere close to you initially, because when we're not used to the observer, it doesn't venture out of in the field much because we don't use it. When you begin to increase the vibration, when you begin into relationship with the observer, you begin to expand the observer, and you begin to feel that presence. That presence is your cohesiveness. That is your coherence. That is your alignment. So using tools, other people use different things. Some do jogging. Some do yoga. Some do anything that can alter your space and your state is useful. We call meditation, it's all kinds of forms of meditation. Some people like to take, you know, 5 mile long walks. I know a friend who lives in where I live here who will go running 4 times a week and will run 10 or 12 miles at a time because that's where he finds his zone, you know, and that zone is that connected space where you feel your alignment. You're not being bombarded with all of that craziness and you can move forward and begin to create change. And so we are, guys, thank you for being here. As our first show, we're kind of focused on some of the details of what time is it and what time do we have to be done. And
but it's all a thought I'd like to share before we run out of time is with regard to shifting state. If you see yourself in the universe as it happening to you, you will be in an energy of fear consistently. To level up, as Jim talked about, one of Einstein's solutions for solving problems is you have to be at a higher level than where you see the problem existing. So leveling up from you seeing the universe happening to you, the next level up from that is you see the universe happening for you. And instead of playing the role as a victim where it's happening to you, you're now playing the role of a student where you're given the opportunity to learn from the experiences that you go through. The next level up from that would be seeing the universe happening by you. And by you makes you a co-creator of your experience and your existence here on the planet. And now that you have, that may be unpleasant, it is again an intense learning opportunity. But if you could see everything that's showing up in your field, everything that's showing up in your experience is something that you planned and agreed to and had guidance to create this experience, that you could grow through it to learn about yourself, to learn that you are lovable, to learn that you are valuable, to learn that you are precious, that the universe put you here, you put yourself here to go through this exact experience that you're going through. And ultimately, that is to learn more about love and to operate less in fear.
Yes. Guys, thank you so much for being with us today. This has been a blast. We love doing this. You can check out our website at www.adventuresintruth.com. There you will see we do a regular podcast once a week that is on all the major platforms. We are with E360 TV now 2 days a week. We'll be here Wednesdays at 8 in the morning and Fridays at 4 p.m. And we just want to thank you for participating. We appreciate your comments. Appreciate your patience with us as we're learning this new system. Have an amazing day wherever you are, and take any moment you can to just create a minute of quiet for yourself. Start at a minute. Start at 15 seconds if you need to.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. If you would like to listen to more or to explore all our offerings, visit us on the web at www.adventuresintruthpodcast.com.